Good morning. So during the Clinton administration, the insurance companies were extremely vocal during that health care reform debate. In fact, some people say that the insurance industry defeated any chance at health care overhaul then. But during the past few months, the insurance industry has been relatively quiet until now. That changed this past week. We're joined now by Brad Flugel. He's the executive president and chief strategy and external affairs officer for the health insurer WellPoint. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Celeste.
So the Senate Finance Committee bill that passed on Tuesday, do you support that particular bill?
I think there are a lot of good elements of that bill, but there are a few pieces of the bill that passed a couple of days ago which we think are unworkable.
What are those?
Well, the main issue that we're trying to address through the health care reform initiatives are to try to make health insurance more affordable for American families. And a few of the components of what's included in that bill will, in fact, have the opposite impact. Some of those include new taxes that are being applied on various component parts of the healthcare industry, like insurance companies, pharmaceutical manufacturers, and medical device manufacturers. There's also significant cuts that are going to be made to the Medicare program, those costs will be shifted onto those who have private insurance, increasing the costs for those who are privately insured. And then also importantly, in order for the market reforms to work effectively and get everybody included in the pool, there needs to be strong incentives for people to take up insurance.
Okay, so Brad, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the costs of the bill in just a few minutes. But first, we've been getting personal takes and stories from our listeners, 8778MYTAKE, all for weeks now. We have a couple questions from some of our listeners that I wanted you to respond to. Here's one.
My name is Langston. I'm in Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Through three insurers, I have been told what medicine I can take, what doctor I can see, and what hospital I can use. I don't know why these people are trying to tell us that any sort of government plan will limit our choices. Our choices are now being run by the insurance companies.
What's your response to that?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do as insurance companies is to ensure that people get the right kind of care in the right setting, and that we make that care as affordable as possible through the insurance system. And so I'm not sure the specifics of what that individual was talking about, but there are programs in place that that we have that allow people to get access to all the care that they need.
Okay. We have another question from a listener. Here's this one.
My name is Suzanne. I'm calling from Massachusetts, and I have insurance. I have great insurance, actually. And even with my insurance, I can never see my doctor. When I do see my doctor, or try to see my doctor, I'm often referred to the emergency room. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is the insurance company. They're taking the money. The doctors aren't getting it. They have to take too many patients. And when they send us to the emergency room, how much does that cost?
So this is a common complaint, and many people are saying the insurance companies are complaining that premiums are going up, but they're the ones that set the premium. So what's your response to this?
Well, as you probably well know, health insurance company premiums account for, profits account for less than 1 cent of the U.S.'s healthcare dollars. And the reason that premiums are going up is that healthcare costs are going up, being driven by prices from physicians and hospitals, new medical technologies, new drugs, and the like, and that those health insurance premiums, again, are increasing because of those factors, not because of profits from health insurance companies.
Okay, so Brad Flugel with WellPoint. You guys are the largest member of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. You have lots of people that you cover, but this is a common complaint, which is that we need health care insurance because the private insurance system isn't covering enough people.
My name is Chris. I'm calling from Warwick, Rhode Island. I'm a new college graduate, graduated college in May, and because I graduated college and I'm no longer a full-time student, my health insurance coverage under my mother's plan no longer applies to me as of the end of the year. All my medical copays will now be inactive, and I'll be forced to pay full price for any medical procedure I would have to have, and also pay full price for any medications I would have to get, which is completely unreasonable. It should not be a case that you only get insurance based on whether you have a job or not.
So Brad, do you agree that the system as it stands right now with so many people uninsured is not working?
Yeah, we agree that there need to be substantial changes to the health insurance marketplace, and we proposed strong market reforms to ensure that every American has affordable coverage, and we've been advocating that for over a year now. That includes the elimination of pre-existing conditions to ensure everyone gets into the pool, that this is coupled with subsidies to low- and middle-income individuals to help them purchase coverage, that we end some of the existing rating practices based on health status and the like. So we do have a comprehensive set of proposals that would allow more people to enter the pool. But I think importantly for the caller that you just referenced who's a young adult, I think one of the things that's important as we think about reform is that we have appropriate rating rules in place so that younger Americans who often tend to be often healthier and we would like to include in the insurance pool do not have to excessively subsidize older Americans. So what's very important that the rating bands, which is the differences between what young people pay versus older people pay, are sufficiently broad to allow younger Americans to be able to afford coverage.
Okay, Brad Flugel, thanks so much. He's the Executive President and Chief Strategy and External Affairs Officer for WellPoint. So as we said earlier, the insurance companies have started to take a stand in the insurance debate. We're joined now by Robert Zirkelbach. He's a press secretary for AHIP. That's America's Health Insurance Plans, a trade group for insurance companies. And also John Gruber rejoins us. He's a healthcare economist at MIT. So we have this new report out from your group, Robert, AHIP, saying that health insurance premiums are going to rise precipitously higher through this healthcare insurance reform bill that passed on Tuesday, much higher than they would have if we'd just gone forward and hadn't changed a thing. And I wanted you to take a listen to a response from Senator John Kerry. Here he is on Tuesday at the Senate Finance Committee hearing referencing your report.
The insurance industry ought to be ashamed of this report. The fact is the Pricewaterhouse analysis is significantly flawed, and the results are simply not valid. It is a disgrace.
Objection.
That at the last minute obfuscation of a critical.
So, Robert, how do you respond to this from Kerry?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on. And in fact, yesterday there was another report from Oliver Wyman that confirmed the findings from the PricewaterhouseCoopers report. The fact is, there are several proposals in the current health care reform that are being considered right now as part of reform that will have the unintended consequence of significantly driving up health care costs for families and employers. There are a series of new health care taxes. There is now an incentive for people to wait until they're sick to purchase coverage. And the Medicare cuts, as Brad mentioned previously, doctors and hospitals respond to those by simply charging more to people with private coverage. That's all of those reforms are going to have a significant impact on the affordability of health care coverage. So, we support health care reform. We have offered solutions to address these issues, and we are optimistic that something can get accomplished. But reform needs to be done in a way that's going to make coverage more affordable, and it's going to put our health care system on a more sustainable path.
Okay, John Gruber from MIT. This report claims that the cost of private health insurance would go up 79% by 2019 if we changed nothing, but it would go up 111% by 2019 under the bill that passed in the Senate Finance Committee. You did your own study of the reform proposals. What did you find?
You know, I thank you for having me on as well. You know, I really didn't do my own study. What I did is I just used data from the Congressional Budget Office, which, you know, they're making estimates like we all are, but they have the benefit their estimates are what matter to policymakers. And the Congressional Budget Office says that under the reform passed by the Senate Finance Committee, the cost of buying a policy in the exchange will actually be lower than it is today in the non-group market. So I think, you know, different people can make different estimates. I think the point that is important that was made actually better by the Oliver Wyman report yesterday is that it's true that a weaker mandate will lead to higher premiums than a stronger mandate. That is absolutely true, and I agree with AHIP in saying that we should strengthen the mandate. I think the problem is that even with the modest mandate that we have in the Senate bill, it's still enough to lower premiums, and that's where the mistake was made. The premiums still will fall. They'd fall more with a stronger mandate, but they'll still fall even with the bill that passed.
Okay. We also got a statement from PricewaterhouseCoopers saying that they did not estimate the impact of subsidies on the net insurance cost to householders, and if other provisions in the health care reform bill are successful in lowering costs over the long term, those improvements would offset some of the higher costs that they estimated. Thank you very much. That was John Gruber, a healthcare economist at MIT, and we heard from Robert Zirkelbach, press secretary for AHIP, America's health insurance plan. That's a trade group for insurance companies.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.